Our justice system in America is broken. Too often, men are condemned to death for crimes they did not commit. Kevin Cooper sits on death row in California for crimes he may be innocent of. The new book, Scapegoat, The Chino Hills Murders and the Framing of Kevin Cooper by author J. Patrick O'Connor asks the question, did the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department frame Kevin Cooper? This riveting new book exposes our broken justice system and the sad reality that some men in America have been and will be executed for crimes they did not commit. Get your copy of Scapegoat, The Chino Hills Murders and the Framing of Kevin Cooper by author J. Patrick O'Connor, available at bookstores everywhere and Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and booksamillion.com.
Listening to Authors First on the Artist First World Radio Network, artistfirst.com. Tony Kay in the studio. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Wherever you call home on planet Earth, all of our broadcasts are available in MP3 format. That means available 24/7, free on demand. This hour on Authors First, it's my privilege, Tony Kay, my privilege to introduce our author, Susan Hazard, author of Flowers in Your Aura, Experiences of an Intuitive Medium. Did I really botch that badly? But that's okay. You're here and I'm here. The website, flowersinyouraura.com, available right now at artistfirst.com. It's on the right-hand side. Scroll down. You'll see it. Susan Hazard, thank you so much for being our guest this hour. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well. It's my pleasure to be speaking with you.
You know, it's a fun era to live in, or decade, I should say. We've been in business since 1996. That's when you that's when you had your first children. No, I believe me, my grandchildren, they can operate this equipment better than I. So it's a great time to live in for authors and for people who think and feel and have something positive to contribute to society, are able to reach out in a new, exciting way via the internet, via our radio broadcast and this medium that we have. And by the way, you are a medium. You're very intuitive. You're into understanding the aura and presence of what makes every human being unique. And I like that. I enjoy learning about the uniqueness of people that come on Artists First. And we have a long list, and we're so very proud of all of them that come on and share some things maybe that they wouldn't otherwise share. So, Susan...
Yes.
Okay, I was just making sure you were still there.
I am.
Susan Hazard, author of Flowers in Your Aura. How did it get started for you?
Well, as I explain in my book, I was always, I felt apart from others when I was a child, that I always had intimations, lived my life by signs and omens, really very innocently. But then I found myself, as I was growing up and becoming a young adult, being in the right place at the right time to help people at a moment of perhaps change in their life or grief or sadness. It was just interesting. And one woman once said to me, after a particularly difficult time that I helped her with, she said, "Oh, you must be an angel." And I said, "Oh, isn't that funny? What if I was an angel and I came to Earth and I bumped my head when I got here and forgot what I was supposed to be doing, but I kept doing it?" So that was one of
Well, you didn't forget very well.
No, I didn't forget very well. I was functioning, like an amnesiac, but I didn't understand why I was functioning that way. So it was going to the spiritualist church in Santa Barbara and learning how to be, to develop my gift as an intuitive medium, or as a medium, as they really look into it, that really got me started on this path. And then also explaining in my book, the first time that I saw auras, I thought I was supposed to see colors. I really tried hard to see colors. I put my friends up against white walls and defocused and try to see their energy, aura, you know, the colors around them. And all I saw were flowers. So I thought I was a failure.
Then Hold it, Susan. Oh, boy. You're really eager to give
me
the...
I
know.
To talk about this.
You are. You're so good. And really, that's what... That's a characteristic of who you are. You are good. You want to help people. You really have that sense about telling if someone is troubled or anxious or in need of a particular word of advice or counsel or assistance in other ways. And you reach out that way. You're a giving kind of a person. Isn't that right, Susan?
That's correct.
Yeah. So this is something you recognized at a very young age, that you were somehow in tune with the sensations, the feelings, the environment that was going around you in maybe a more mature manner than others.
Which you could not see. Just because you could not see it does not mean it did not exist.
That's right. That's correct.
Just like doctors used to think that germs did not exist because they could not see them.
Well, yeah. I mean, we thought for a long time that we had the atom all figured out, and then we discovered there are all kinds of particles. They're even smaller than the smallest ones we thought were there.
That's right.
Now we're getting really teeny, weeny, weeny stuff. Little tiny, weeny stuff.
The whole string theory in physics, I think, is a theoretical science. Because you can't see them doesn't mean that it doesn't exist.
Yeah, how itty-bitty can we go?
Yes, exactly.
Well, how about the other direction? How about the other direction? How big can we go?
Well, big. Then that would make us very tiny, wouldn't it?
Well, how big? A planet, a sun, a bigger sun, bigger planets, bigger sun, huge. Well, how big can it be? And how small
are we
compared to how big
it is? There's so much that we don't know.
Kind of interesting to be as little as far as you can go this way and as large as you can the other way. You pick a right or left. It's your choice.
That's right. And so you
if you're right-handed, the right goes to the little. If you're left-handed, it goes to the big. And then if you're the other way, then it's the other way for you. Okay?
Yes.
Now, but that's to be in tune with the universe. That's not something a lot of people really care about.
I don't know if they care about it or they don't think about it, because we're so involved in our daily lives.
Well, that's hedonism. We're hedonists. We're heathens.
We're focused in the moment.
Yeah, it's all about what is happening to me.
We are having human experiences. That's what you're supposed to focus on.
That's right. But that's higher things, higher thinking.
Well, you are a spiritual being having a human experience, so you have to remember that it is your human experience that you're experiencing, that you're having at that moment.
Well, okay, now, first of all, Tony Kay in the studio with our lovely guest, especially lovely because she's a redhead, and I like that, Susan Hazard, Hazard, if you didn't know. Have to go to the website, check it out. Now look, you're on your cell phone. You have your whatever, Android. Go ahead, type in there. Put in the website, www. Yeah, right up there in that Google. Yeah, right there. Flowers. You know how to spell that. What's the next one? In. Your, Y-O-U-R, aura, I forgot how to spell that, aura.com. Aura. No, you don't have to do a spell check. It's aura.com. Go there. Don't spell check it. Then you'll have the information, because Tony Kaye will probably never get to it, but you'll see it there, okay? I don't have to reinvent everything, okay? And then you can host your own show. Right, Susan?
That's right.
Yeah.
And Tony, as I told you earlier, you have oak leaves in your aura at
this
time.
Oh, no. Now, let me take my shirt off.
Okay. There's okay. No reason to do that.
Oh, all right. I was getting overheated here. I was getting warm. I'm, you know, excited. What's happening here? What's my aura? All right. Susan Hazard's, now she listened to the previous broadcast, audience. If you weren't there, which you probably weren't because you're listening to rebroadcast, these shows are free, available. That means if you actually like Susan Hazard and this book and this whole approach, which is really fascinating, Psychic Development Workshop, you've got to have one of those, November 12th and 13th, Saturday and Sunday. And I'm headed to Santa Barbara, California. I'll be out there, okay? So we'll see you there, Susan.
Good.
No, I'm kidding. I can't make that trip. But I'd love to. I like Santa Barbara. That's a nice town.
Well, we'd love to see you. Yes.
Well, we'll have to talk about that later.
Yes.
Okay. So, at any rate, look, audience, you get this link. It's an MP3. You can send it to everybody. Everybody. They have to know about Susan. This is incredible stuff. And this website, fabulous. Well done. And your book is beautiful. I have a copy of it. Thank you. Thank you. I'll add this to my personal library if it's signed. It's not signed. But I have But I have your card. Your card's in here. That's sweet. I have your card. Okay, it's not signed. That's all right. My wife wonders sometimes, why is that signed? How well do you know this author? No.
Now, if she was thinking that, she would have mushrooms in her aura.
And she's a redhead, and I know how you feel about them. Oh, Susan. Flowers in your aura. Okay. I've given you a lot of me. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Tell me.
And so
share.
The oak leaves in your aura mean that you're brave. And if your wife is wondering about you, then she would have mushrooms in her aura, which means suspicion.
Well, she doesn't touch those.
No. Well, then she can carry them in her aura. They're all symbolic.
Oh, okay. What else did you glean? You do this all the time. That's studying people. It's a science.
Yes, and it's fascinating. It can be rather frustrating if you're sitting in an airport, waiting for your plane, and you look at someone and you see something around them, and you want to go over and speak to them about it, and you can't. I mean, they would think you're nuts.
Yeah, they would.
So I try not to look and see what people have around them unless it's really important or if they ask me.
Okay, so you weren't paying attention the last hour. Now the truth comes out.
Both those ladies had cream puffs and eclairs. They did not have flowers around them. They had cream puffs and eclairs.
Aww.
I'm not sure why.
Well, I love those.
A couple of sweethearts.
I love that. So that's why.
Yes.
I mean, that's my. Those are my favorite. I like the, you know, the cream stick. You know, never mind.
Yes.
Yeah, they were dolls. And you are too. You're so kind, Susan.
Thank you
for supporting the arts on Artists First, for being Tony Kaye's guest, for allowing us to really bring this information to the public. I think there's a fascination today in a way that didn't exist 10, 20 years ago with mediums and coming to understand that we all have an aura that does emit the things that we're going through and can be somewhat understood and interpreted.
It's an interesting gift that I have because there is a difference between a psychic and a medium. A psychic receives the information from you as I see your aura, and a medium is a channel for spirit or for your family, friends, and guides on the other side, or but I don't talk to dead people because they're not dead. Their personality continues. So being an intuitive medium uses that I have two skills. I see you psychically. I see your aura. But as a medium, then I bring information from your family and friends who have passed over.
Boy, there's a lot of them.
Yes.
I mean, I have a big family, and they're mostly on the other side waiting for me. But I think they're right over me or around here somewhere.
Well, I feel as though that your father on your father's side was a quiet man. But
yes, he was. He was. Yes. Exactly.
Yes,
wasn't like me
also,
at all. He was a quiet man. Yes.
Yes, he was a quiet man, but he had his wife was shorter. I feel that she was shorter and rounder woman.
Yes, she was.
She's poking at you with her forefinger. She's poking you in your tummy.
Because yeah, I believe that.
She's a bit shorter.
Oh, exactly. That's her.
She wants to get your attention.
Yeah, you nailed it. You nailed it. You nailed it right on the head. Exactly.
And for some reason, she's showing me popsicles.
Well, yeah.
You know, orange or raspberry flavored popsicles. That's what she's bringing to you.
Well, my favorites.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. I mean, and she had them all the time.
And you think you haven't had any lately. That's the problem.
No, I haven't. She's right. I really haven't been celebrating quite enough.
That's right. And you need to celebrate the child in you.
All right, Grandma. I will. I will. She was such a beautiful little blonde, blue-eyed lady, petite, and I just loved her. She was, my head rested on her. On her leg many times.
And then did she crochet? Did she have like white white doilies? That,
sure,
Yes.
Well, okay. Well, but now she's joined by my father.
But he's so quiet.
But he's not standing there big and tall? Oh, okay. She must have chased him off someplace.
He has something else
to learn.
He was saying that you always were quite the talker. But
yeah,
he started talking very early.
Well, I did. You know, and he came to me a year after he passed.
Yes.
And he spoke to me. That's kind of strange.
Isn't that wonderful how they do that? It's lovely, isn't it?
It is. It was weird.
No, it's not weird. It's very loving.
Yeah.
It's weird because we don't expect it.
Right. I mean, I wish I would have known in advance. I may have, dressed differently.
No. If you made an appointment, you would have been frightened out of your wits.
Well, no doubt. So it's a wonderful thing that you have. And I know that my wife and her group of ladies have a pastor who is also a medium, and she does readings and speaks to those on the other side. It's a wonderful gift of peace and encouragement. So I know that there are many today who find that to be the case.
Yes, and that's wonderful. It does give you a feeling of continuity, that you're never alone.
And, I think at times answers questions that may be lingering, that one or the other party didn't have a chance to express.
Exactly. There's so many times that we pass over, especially in times of violence, or if we're separated, our families are so widely separated, you may not be there when somebody passes over, but they love you so much, they want to be in touch with you and let you know how much they love you. And that's why I say love never dies.
It doesn't, and that's a great thing. I mean, and it crosses religious lines, audience, whether you're a Buddhist or a Christian or a Hindu or a Muslim. It crosses many lines of philosophy. Spiritualism very much is a universal way of thinking about this life and the next.
Yes, exactly. Because as a friend explained to me, your personality, your spirit, there's two kinds of electricity. There's alternating current and direct current. You're direct current. Direct current is never created nor destroyed. It is. So when the body passes away, when the body's destroyed, your personality, your direct current is not destroyed. So it continues. You are a never-ending story.
Oh, my. I've just now, audience, I have the website up, so this is a little complex for Tony K, but we're going to give an insight here. Objective clairvoyance, clairsentence, intuitive, sensitive. Clairaudience, subjective, yes. Clairvoyance. I don't know. What in the world are we looking at here? Is this some kind of French that I missed out on? I missed that class in French.
Well, I did too, actually. These are just different manners of receiving information. Since I'm an artist, I see my images, or I receive my information through images that I see in my mind's eye. So as being an artist and also being very articulate, because I love words, I'm able to describe the images that I see in a lot of detail, and that helps people recognize what I'm seeing. I also hear words in my inner mind, and I also see words like on a ticker tape going across my mind. Or I just know. I just intuit.
And it requires a certain amount of filtration and separation and contemplation, I would imagine, when you're dealing on those levels.
I think it doesn't really, watching the television show Medium, the woman was quite beset by dreams and images, and most mediums are closed. They just refuse to recognize what's going on around them. It's just pure survival. You just cannot be pushed upon all the time by those who want to communicate. The late Reverend Ford at the Santa Barbara Church once said, they will work a patient or a kind horse to death. So you can't be a gentle horse. You have to just say, no, I won't go there. I don't want to see that. I don't want to do that. But when you're ready to receive the information, you do definitely go into a more contemplative space. I just open my eyes and my mind and my heart, and I receive the information, I give the message, and then I'm done. That's why sometimes I call myself a hit-and-run medium.
What do you get paid for that? that was the prior attorney. You're not an attorney. Okay. Bad joke. But really...
Yes. I didn't run medium, Tony, because I give the information where I'm put into a position where somebody needs some help or needs some information or they need a message. I give it to them. Thank you very much. Bless you. And walk away and not see them again. And, of course, how could I charge for something like that? I mean, that's pro bono work. That is free. That's God's gift to them.
Now, are you affiliated with an organization that has these types of philosophies? In other words...
Yes. I am a certified medium through the National Spiritualist Association of Churches.
And therefore there's... Go ahead.
The headquarters are in Lilydale, New York. I had to pass a test. And I had to produce a certain number of affidavits from people that had received messages from me and who recognized who I was channeling the information from. So I'm not talking about guides or spirits or something that's not verifiable information. I've given information and messages that was verifiable. People recognized who I was bringing the message from.
And you don't find it unusual that this place is... named after a flower.
The National Spiritualist Association of I see in Lilydale. No, it's a charming little community. It's full of mediums.
But it's a flower.
Yes.
What are the odds?
And Lily stands for Return of Happiness.
Exactly, and there you are.
Yes, yes, that's right. It's totally appropriate.
It is. Flowers in your aura.
Yes, how fortuitous.
I know.
It is an unusual gift. Many people do not see, I have never met anyone else who sees flowers and auras. It's a unique gift, and what's wonderful about it is that I have never met a person who was afraid to know what was in their aura, aura.
That's Indian. Flowers, that's Indian.
American Indian?
Yes.
No, I didn't know that.
Now, you'll have to investigate.
Yes, I will. You've given me a whole new avenue to walk down.
Yes.
Thank you.
Shamans. The shamans used flowers because of the aura that they emit.
Yes. Well, a lot of people, I have met mediums that do flower readings. Someone brings them a flower, and they receive the information from the flower. But as a certified spiritualist medium, I do not use any props as cards, palm reading, flowers, tea leaves. My readings are conversational.
Now, Tony Kay in the studio. You're listening to Authors First on the Artists First World Radio Network. Our guest, Susan Hazard, joining us to talk about her book. We invite you to visit artistfirst.com. There you'll find the link. If you click it, it'll take you right over to her website, Susan Hazard, what is it?
Flowersinyouraura.com.
Oh, is that the right one? No, that's not where I'm at.
Well, it's also under Susan Hazard Intuitive Medium, but that's a little bit more difficult to spell.
Yeah, I know. That's fun. Go ahead. You know, it's a spelling bee here.
Be brave.
Be brave. But so, in other words, if you select the link on artistfirst.com, which looks like something else, it's going to go over here, which is something else, and then you're going to see this beautiful redhead on the page, and you'll know you're at the right place.
Yes, but at least start with artistfirst.com. That's the most important site.
I would.
Yes.
Did I say that? Yeah. Okay.
And what a wonderful variety of authors that you've had on your website. I have been perusing it and enjoying all the people that you've had in the past.
I know, and I it's fun because sometimes I learn things. So
I think you're very open to learning.
Intuitive medium, reading my aura, and you're out where I'd like to be, somewhere in California, and I'm here in Ohio, and it's getting cold.
Yes.
It's October, and it's Halloween, and it's the spirits, and they're all out, and most of them are kind of ugly. What's that all about?
They're out around you all the time. I think everybody in their costumes are probably scaring everyone in spirit.
I think that's about right. Are we kind of who's walking through whom here?
Well, most people are afraid of the unknown.
Of course, yes, and spiders.
Well, at least you can see those. I always loved the idea that when somebody said, "When it's dark, I'm afraid," and they said, "What do you see?" and they say, "Nothing," and then they say, "Well, why would you be afraid of it?"
Well, that's true, because if there's nothing there, there's nothing to be afraid of, right? Because you don't know that
exactly.
It's dark.
Exactly.
What
so the more you know, the less afraid you are.
Well, you know, and that's a good conversation, isn't it? Is it really, I mean, do we hope that, like Rover, we're dead all over, and I guess Rover has an aura, too?
Yes, they do, actually.
And everything, probably. Isn't that everythingness, pantheism, or?
Well, pantheism, yes, is saying that spirit exists in everything, including trees, rocks, sand.
Yeah.
Probably in rocks and sand, it's probably a much lower consciousness or vibration than a tree, but I don't mean to offend anybody, especially if they really love rocks.
Or anything. I mean,
yes.
You know, glass is fluid.
That's right.
So
everything, but it's wonderful that everything that exists on the earth, including you and I, is matter is neither created nor destroyed. You're comprised of what has been, and you will be a part of what will be in the future.
You know, the fun part about being human is we could be totally wrong, but it was a lot of fun thinking about it.
Yes, and the fun thing I always find is when people feel that when you pass away, they just turn off a switch, you're gone. And then they'll find out when they pass away that, no, your spirit does go on. Your personality continues.
Can you give us the, you know, the nutshell, the quick study on the Knickerbocker?
The Knickerbocker was that I was at a dinner party, and I became the entertainment for the evening, and it was fun. I told everybody what they had around them in their auras and gave them a short message. I went back to one woman after I spoke with her, and I looked at her, and I kept hearing a very strange word that I couldn't quite understand. And I finally got it out, and I said, "Knickerbocker," and her eyes grew as big as tea plates or teacups, and she looked at me, and she said, "Knickerbocker was my mother's favorite beer." She said that her sister used to have difficulties in pronouncing that word also. She used to go Knicker, but it was Knickerbocker beer. And that's what was so lovely about it. And then she had, I think, cinquefoil around her, which meant maternal love, and she realized that her mother was bringing her her love, that her mother in spirit was contacting her. But the one thing that she understood, that she recognized immediately, was Knickerbocker. That's not a word I usually use.
No, and audience, this is really odd, so bear with me. The book.
And it seems so real to me.
The book. Susan, the book's 101 pages, okay?
Yes.
And now, to my disgrace, I've only looked at the exterior. Okay? I have not
and
had the opportunity.
It's a lovely exterior,
isn't it?
It
is. And it's a beautiful book.
Yes. My friend designed the cover for me. It's actually one of my paintings.
And it is beautiful. I love the book. I love the whole of the book. It's very well done. And I've read a little of it in the beginning, only the beginning. And I like the way you frame your words and the topics. This is a good read. This is a very good read. I also think from this book you could just go to a chapter and just read that chapter.
Yes, and it all verifies that life continues after the so-called death, that when you leave your body, that you continue. And I think that it really brings comfort and understanding to people who have had family leave them behind, or their husbands or their children, that they continue.
Now, this is something that no one would ever know about Tony Kaye, but Tony Kaye is quite the beer aficionado. I love beer, all over the world. I'm the nut who has the T-shirts. I drank them all. Okay, I love,
including Knickerbocker.
Including Knickerbocker, but
oh, that's wonderful.
That's another story, but I'm not there yet. So I'm holding the book. Okay, flowers in your aura. I haven't looked at the contents. I don't know that there's a Knickerbocker in this book. Nothing, right? And it's 101 pages. It's beautiful. I open the book, and right in front of me is Knickerbocker.
So that really touched a chord.
Right there. Now, we've been talking about my grandparents, my grandmother.
Yes. Yes.
And that's where I gleaned my love of beer from, our German Swiss heritage. So thank you very much. I've never had that happen. That's the first I've divulged this information, Susan. So thank you for bringing it out and for allowing those on the other side to touch me. I appreciate that.
You're very welcome. And for some reason, the word streusel comes up also.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right.
Yes.
And our German-Swiss heritage and the love of certain foods and of course, Oktoberfest. This is the time that we love our October brews because the harvest comes in. And all of the grains and the hops and the things that we've cultivated all summer long are now coming together so that we can make our various Oktoberfests.
And I'm getting a feeling also that it's coming to a time when you would really enjoy having a Guinness in its homeland, and perhaps even though your heritage is not from Ireland, that would be a good trip for you to take.
Oh, absolutely. I would love to go to Ireland. I had a year in Germany, but I did not have that time in Ireland, and I'd love to go there. It is just absolutely beautiful. Beautiful.
It's calling
place.
To you.
Oh, it is. they would find me a kindred spirit.
Yes,
or I would
really
or
like
I would
so.
Be finding their spirits, as they call them.
Well, I think that the veneer is very thin on the Irish people. I discovered my gift when I was living in Ireland, and it was encouraged. People did not think I was absolutely crazy.
Yes, I'd be kicking up my heels, and they'd be saying, "What spirit is that lad on?"
It didn't even take that. It just took the beauty of there, and that people are so often, and I feel that the beliefs in the little people is very just underneath the surface.
Susan, now you really are someone who enjoys the topic, study the topic. You know your own abilities. Have you been able to fine-tune those abilities through other knowledge?
Other knowledge as in what, Tony?
Well, through the experiences of other shamans and holy people, literature, do you glean your understanding of that world from lots of other sources?
Well, my sources I pretty much explored when I was a younger person, and I went through a number of studying different religions and beliefs, and it always came back to that it was beliefs. I was not receiving or feeling that I was getting any kind of confirmation or truthfulness. The belief and knowledge, and I wanted knowledge. And the first time I went to the spiritualist church in Santa Barbara, and somebody brought me a message that described members of my family who had passed over quite recently, and I just thought, how could they possibly know that? And then I realized that there was a difference between belief in the unknown and knowledge, actually experiencing it. So that's why I went ahead and focused my energy on the spiritualist church, especially to the National Spiritualist Association of Churches as an organization, because they ask for verifiable knowledge. That I could say to a woman, your mother is here and she loved Knickerbocker beer. That's something the woman could say, yes, that was my mother. That is my mother. I recognize who you're talking about. In the book, I also bring out information to people that nobody else could possibly know what that information was. That, to me, is verifiable knowledge, not just believing, because it's so difficult to believe in something that you can't see. Of course, many of us have a belief in a higher source or the universal spirit or in God. Again, you know, it's like black holes or string theory. You can't see it. You have to believe in it. But I like verifiable information. That proof that I bring to people makes me feel as though my belief is not misplaced.
Well, you know, Susan Hazard, there's a lot to it because some choose to return.
Yes.
Now, some choose to return at a particular time for a particular reason.
Well, usually in time of need, and not necessarily for Halloween. If that's what you're driving towards. It has been verified. I have read of studies where a high percentage of widows say that their husbands return to let them know that they love them, they care for them, you know, they haven't left them. I haven't read any statistics on widowers, but I do feel is that when you've been in partnership with somebody for quite a long time, that you do get a verification from them. There's that feeling that, yes, they're still with you. And that's a wonderful feeling. For people who don't have that immediate experience, then a medium would be of assistance to them.
You know, I know that our exposure to television and all of the ability to create images that are out of our mind, in other words, they're just... pretend, right? It's television,
yes.
Okay?
Yes.
We can do a lot
fantasy.
Yes, we can do a lot with television and
yes.
Creating images and so forth. But as a medium, do you see it that way?
When I see images, I don't see something that I can, that's a corporeal being, that's a person with substance. I see them in my mind's eye, but yes, I can see them in quite detail, a lot of detail, enough to make it real, a real experience to me, or I can describe to someone.
But
see them all the time.
But from the spirit's point of view, it's only, I'm going to give you this image of what I was like in life so that those living will recognize me.
Right. A lot of times they only give me a symbol, like your grandmother may give me crochet, or she may give me popsicles. You know, or somebody may show me a pocket watch or give me a word like Knickerbocker. They will give me a symbol that the person I'm speaking to will recognize. It's very direct. It's very to the point.
Ultimately, where are we headed with this once we're there? Obviously, there's more people that are there than here, right?
Yes.
I mean, we're always being born and dying, but there's been more dead than living. What's the purpose here of the spirits once you're there? Are there progressive layers of development spiritually or other dimensions, worlds, or opportunities in addition to what we have here on Earth? What is the goal, ultimately, of having a spirit that becomes enlightened or refined?
It's all a process of learning, and it's much more difficult learning experience here on Earth, obviously, as we can see from many different experiences that people
Well, that's
are
because
having.
We learn by doing, Susan.
Yes, exactly.
I burned my hand. I'm not sticking my hand in the fire no
learn.
More.
It that's hurts. Right, but when you're in spirit, you're learning, but you're learning much more slowly. In spirit, you can create anything that you want. It's a matter, especially if you don't feel loved when you're here on Earth, when you go into spirit, you'll have an opportunity to see what that experience was like, to evaluate your experience here, and then to grow beyond that experience so that you will experience love. I think the most important thing that I do for people is help them to realize that you are an everlasting story, that love never dies, and that the reason that spirit come back to contact you through me, I don't know about other mediums, but is to let people know I love you, that love is the most important aspect of life. That's the motivating force. Why would spirit, if love didn't exist, then you wouldn't have contact from spirit. Their motivating feeling is that they love you, they care for you, they want to help you.
And heaven? Hell?
Well, I personally feel that hell is here on Earth. It's pretty strong, isn't it? Heaven to me is being in spirit. I don't use the word heaven or hell. People create their own heaven or hell while they're here. When you're in spirit, you're in varying degrees of light. But I personally am a very loving, accepting, and optimistic person. So I only deal with love. I don't deal with fear.
How do we react to those who say, when I died, and then I came back, but when I died, I saw the light, and it was Jesus, and it was my family, it was heaven, it was the pearly gate, I got there. And I saw all of the glory, and then God said, "You're not. Your time's not here. Go back, and then back, and then they're resuscitated, and they have this experience, this story. They're changed. Their outlook on life, everything is energized and different about them. What?
Yes.
What do you say about that experience?
How could they not be re-energized to feel that love, to feel that release, to feel like they're loved and they're accepted, and then they have to come back and deal with trials and challenges and
that's like saying God sent me back to hell.
No, no, it's all in your attitude. I always say that a lot of times you can't change the circumstances, but you can change your attitude. So it's how you look at what's around you, how some people can be dragged down by their circumstances and other people can transcend their circumstances. It's all due to their attitude. To have hope, to have love in your soul. I mean, I feel that people go to the other side and come back because they need to bring the message back to change their life. It was very interesting in my family, the Hazard family history back in the late 1800s. I read a very short story about a distant relative who had passed away and was resuscitated, probably not through extraordinary medical means. But he said in this story of his life that he didn't want to come back. It was lovely on the other side.
Wow. Well,
yes.
That's a lot to think about.
Now, it is.
It's of course,
probably more than for just a short radio program.
Well,
or to watch a television show and watch people doing something, you know, in 30 minutes, they, you know, wrap up the problem and they're on to the next problem.
Susan, you know, there are people who really have never even thought about what we're talking about tonight.
Yes.
Having to give, you know, this is a whole new area for them. You know, you've been immersed in this subject for a lifetime, since a child. It's like second nature to you, like riding a bike, driving a car. You don't even give it a thought. It's just there. It's something you accept and know about in yourself.
Yes. But in writing the book, I did have to go back over the steps that led me up to this point. It was a lesson in awareness.
Now, if you're a guy, you don't usually find guys, you know, macho guys who would care about Bigfoot and aliens and stuff like that. You don't really find them reading a book called Flowers in Your Aura. They might not want to be, you know, out in the woods. Hey, what are you reading, man? Oh, I got Flowers in Your Aura. Okay.
Yes, but we all have people around us, unless we're a total hermit, we all have people that we care about or that we know or that we have daily interaction with, and we see people pass away, and we wonder what happened to them, and we may even visit with them in our dreams or have feelings about them being around us. It doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman or what kind of emotional state that you're in, we're all in the same boat. We're all human beings, and as Carl Jung said, we're all connected by the higher consciousness.
Susan Hazard, I'm going to tell the guys it's a book about Picasso. See the flowers? Just leave it alone.
Yes.
And see, it's about this beautiful, see this redhead back here? It's by her. And then that'll be done, okay? Then I can read my book in peace. Go ahead and shoot the deer.
I could tell them that I could see something really strong, like sequoias around them, which means strength.
Yeah. Well, this is Ohio. Okay? It's the heart of it all. So I'm sure.
Well, if I see wheat around you, it means riches.
I am blessed. There is no question. I don't mean with dollar bills, those riches. I'd like to have a few more of those, okay?
No, but we're going to talk about spiritual riches.
But the other ones, oh, I am blessed. I am true.
Yes.
I have met the most unusual, wonderful people in the world, like Susan Hazard, and audience, you need to meet her too. So go to the website. You won't be disappointed. Buy the book. It's October 2011, but any time is a good time for a good book, especially when it can benefit you in such positive ways. Maybe open your mind to think about some things you don't spend enough time thinking about and discovering some things about yourself you don't really understand. So psychic development. This is something that you've developed a workshop for, right, Susan?
Yes, I have. I felt that there was a need. There were many people who felt that they would like more questions answered, and this is an introduction to psychic development. It's looking at what gifts that you may have and how to develop them.
And how? What do you? Is this a one-on-one seating, or is this a seminar, or a combination of both?
It's a small workshop with 10 people maximum.
Really concentrated attention.
That's right. And we're going to be working with psychometry, meditation, and how to protect yourself from outside influences.
Okay. Is this something you hope to morph into something bigger? Will you be doing lots of this type of workshop or traveling, or will you be developing literature that you can sell to help others understand?
I think that the literature will be handed out during the workshop, and yes, I love to travel, and I love to bring this information to people, but I have to say quite simply, it's whether the universe wants me to.
All right. On your page, Susan Hazard, Intuitive Medium. You have lots of background information, questions, workshop events, contact information. For those listening right now, is there an email you'd like to share?
Yes, I have my email at hazard, H-A-Z as a zebra, A-R-D, dot, medium, M-E-D-I-U-M, at gmail.com.
And this isn't a dating show, but are you available? No.
It's complicated.
It's complicated. All right. That's a great answer.
We'll leave that up to the universe, too, won't we?
Susan, thank you so much. You've been a joy. Have I covered all the bases? Is there something that I've left out that you'd like to share with our audience or a detail that I've overlooked?
No, I think we have covered everything. Just to remember that love never dies and that you are a never-ending story.
Anyone out there on planet Earth you'd like to say hello to?
Oh, all my family and friends here and all my friends at church and my special someone that makes life so wonderfully complicated.
Oh, he's jealous now.